Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, and you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on this throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips. You are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me because God is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. My heart, therefore, is glad and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will you, your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are the pleasures forevermore.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence there is fullness of joy.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the third verse, a reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
All right. How well do you think you know me? Not well? Okay, then this is going to be fun. We're going to do something called two truths and a lie. I'm going to tell you three things, and you're going to tell me which one is the lie. Okay? Okay? I was born in May. I will never die. And I have met Harrison Ford. So, first of all, do you even know who Harrison Ford is? That's probably a good question, but no, you don't have to answer that. Okay, which one do you think is the lie? Yeah? That I will never die. Ooh, good one. Anybody else think something else? Yeah? No, I'm not, but I did say I met Harrison Ford. If I was Harrison Ford, I probably wouldn't be standing here. But you never know. Yeah? The last one? That I met Harrison Ford? You're right. I have not met Harrison Ford. That is the lie. I was born in May. And whether you believe this or not, I will never truly die. And neither will you. Do you believe that? Do you believe what I have to say? No? You sure? You believe it. Anybody else believe that? Anybody believe that? A lot of you believe that. Anybody out there believe that? Will you ever die? Do you think you're going to die? No. Yeah. And you are illustrating exactly the point I hope you get from today, that it is such wonderful news, it can be too good to be true. But it's true. And we might doubt it. We might doubt that. But it's true. So thanks for playing that game, and please just, run away before I pray. Go. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that sounded a little less energetic than last week. All right, one more time. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we go. You know, just because Easter Sunday's over, do you really think I'm going to let you get away with not saying that? Nice try. It's the next Sunday. But the good news, it doesn't end just last week. It keeps going this week. But take a look around you. What do you notice different in the sanctuary? I don't know how closely you paid attention last week to the sanctuary. But maybe you noticed that a lot of the Alleluia notes are now off the walls. Maybe you noticed the empty box is gone. Maybe you noticed there's a few less people this week than last week. Maybe you noticed there's a little less energy maybe than last week. But guess what? Even among all those changes, he's still risen. He still can't be contained. That didn't change in a week. He's still alive. Like I said last week, the tomb's still empty. He's still alive. He's still not there. And we can still yell, Alleluia. And yet in this week, we hear in the gospel that words are great, but I need proof. Show me something. This is the next week. Show me something. You told me. Now show me that this is true. I need to see him back from the dead. So the word of the day is, you probably guessed it, doubt. That's the word of the day. Doubt. And I want to look at the whole Easter story in John to show that this is not just an isolated incident with Thomas. Doubt was there from the very beginning of the good news and the resurrection story. It was there from the beginning, and you can understand how it can still be here today at times. In John, we hear about Mary Magdalene, that beautiful story about her at the tomb, how she's weeping after she sees the empty tomb. And when she's asked why she's weeping, she says, "Tell me where you've put him so I can bury him again." This is too good to be true. In other words, this is a cruel joke. It is no longer funny. Tell me where he is. It's not funny. Stop fooling around. Why would you do this to me? She doubted that this could be true. But Jesus was there and said, "Mary." She saw, she believed, and she ran off to tell the disciples what she had seen and heard. "He's back!" And how do you think they took that good news? Well, probably skeptical. And we know that because speaking of the disciples, John talks about Peter and another disciple running to the tomb right away. They see it's empty, the clothes are folded nicely, everything's perfect, the body's gone. But where did he go? And the text even says they believed. But did they? Because they go home, and do the disciples still believe it? No, they're just hiding now. And you combine that with Mary's story. What do you think they're thinking? Does it sound too good to be true? I mean, they lock themselves in the room, like the gospel says, because they are afraid, doubt, and fear. Even though they've seen this, they're still afraid. That is until Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." Only then do they get jazzed up, pumped up, real full of energy, and they know he is back. They are excited. But wait, it gets even better, I tell you. Thomas isn't there. So, do you think Thomas believes all these people? Well, I need proof. So what do? Well, Jesus just kind of told them to go, and they're sitting there for a week again in the room, waiting. And that's why I say Thomas has a bad reputation as being the only doubter in this story. There was lots of people that didn't believe. But even Thomas who had doubted and said, "I need the proof," even his closest friends couldn't convince him. So they're waiting. Jesus comes back and says, "Peace be with you." Go ahead, see, believe, touch my hands, put your hand in my side. You need proof? Here you go, Thomas. Don't doubt. Believe. But here's the best line of that whole story. In all the doubt. And I don't know if this is directed specifically to Thomas. It seems like it's speaking to a lot of people in this story. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, but have come to believe. So why look at that whole story again to point out all the doubt? Well, it's simple. We're in good company, aren't we? These people saw firsthand the empty tomb and still doubted. I have never seen the empty tomb in person. I haven't seen the clothes folded. I haven't been able to put my fingers in his hand or his side. And I don't think you have either. And there are times I think that we too fall into that category of doubter and question some of these things. Show me something. It's too good to be true that I can never die. Give me something to hold on to. Give me something in my time of mourning. Give me something in the changes of life. Give me something. Nothing is making sense in the world right now. Give me something. Well, if you've ever been there, or maybe you are there today, there's even better news. Jesus didn't abandon his disciples in their doubt. And Jesus doesn't abandon us in those moments either. He was there showing himself to disciples in those moments of doubt and continues to show himself to us in ways that we could never expect and in ways we see every week. We may not see the empty tomb or the grave clothes or be able to put our fingers in his side and his hands, but he does appear to us in many different ways. First, we heard it again today, the Gospels. Jesus appears to us in the Gospels and the rest of the Bible. It even said in John, these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. Four Gospels, other parts of Scriptures, we see and hear Jesus alive. It is affirmed. Our belief is affirmed. We no longer need to doubt. But sometimes that's not enough, is it? Sometimes words just don't cut it. We also have the sacraments. We have baptism. We're going to see it again firsthand, a baptism. We're going to join around the table and have Holy Communion. We're going to hear those words again about how Jesus is very present in our lives. Today we're going to have those. We're going to join. We're going to eat, drink, see the water poured. And we're going to know and hear that our sins are forgiven, that Christ is alive. We might even feel that Christ is truly present in our lives in those moments. And if that's not enough, we even go from this place out of worship. And Jesus doesn't just sit around in the sanctuary waiting for us. He goes with us. He goes out there too with us. You could see Jesus in almost every person you meet. It might be a complete stranger. It might be a best friend. But Jesus is there. So you see where I'm going here. There are so many signs that even in our doubt, Jesus is there, reminding us, I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere. I'm still alive. I'm still with you. All around us. We just have to look for it at times to see it. But it's there. Always there. So in those moments of despair and doubt, this story can seem so amazing, so hard to believe, and I can understand how we might question that at times. But it is most certainly true. Jesus is right there, right here, in each and every one of you, all around you. He's not in the grave. He is alive. And through that, we know grace, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting are with us as well. So let's say those words again, because it is still Easter. And don't doubt them. Know that they are true in your life. That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God that Christ is alive and that he doesn't abandon us, even in our moments of weakness and doubt, and that this is most certainly true.
Rejoicing in Amen. The risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. I will end each petition with, Lord, in your mercy, and your invited response is, hear our prayer. O God of the Last Supper, God of the cross, and God of the empty tomb, we come before you now, and we pause. We remember the scent of snow-white Easter lilies. We see the rain as it falls in veils and sheets of April showers. And we listen for you. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Week has passed, but now we long to live by the marvelous story we have heard. Let us remain ever beside you at the table of the Last Supper. Show us who is hungry. Give us courage to offer them bread from your table. Show us who is thirsty, and give us the strength to lift up the cup of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Most of all, Lord, show us how to linger at the table, serving others, doing all that we do in remembrance of you, and the way you were when you walked this earth. Lord, in your mercy. We seek your blessing upon Jordy Sue in her young life. We pray for her life to be one of knowing you and your promise. Hold her, comfort her, shower her with grace. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, you gave your life for us. We are saved by your grace. We pray for peace in this broken world. We pray for wisdom for those making decisions around the globe. We pray for all people. You know everyone's needs. Let us lift up those people that have asked for our prayers at this time, and also for those that, for reasons of their own, chose not to be listed. Please pray with me for those listed in our bulletin. Lord, we lift to you Gracie, Michaela, Judy, Lois, Sonia, Amy, Ione, Marge, the family of Mike, Brock, Rodney, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes. Offer them peace, comfort, and relief from pain and sorrow. Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in faith. We especially remember before you Mike Van Auken. Inspire us by his witness. Bring us with him and others to the heavenly feast. Lord, in your mercy. Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing. May God, who has brought us from death to life, fill us with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace and share the good news.
Thanks be to God.